Welcome to episode 2 of Family Time Q&A. This is the real Jerry Dugan, and I have with me my son, Jacob.
Hi.
That's him. This is the family podcast where we can ask each other a candid question and get a real response that hopefully will help you or inspire you to do something in your family that's intentional. So in this show, my guest is going to ask me a question, any question. I have no idea what that question is going to be. And afterwards, and then I have to respond to that question, no script and no editing whatsoever. Once I finished answering that question, we flip the script or the unscript, and then I get to ask my son, Jacob, a question as well.
Me.
And then he has to answer the same way with something more than, I don't know. Put that rule in just for you, son. Okay. Just for you.
Wait.
Oh. Okay. So, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself first before we get started?
What?
You weren't ready for that, were you?
No.
That's not my question either. Okay. I have a different question. Start with your name.
Oh. My name's Jacob.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 12.
What do you like to do?
I like to go outside sometimes. I like to play video games sometimes.
Sometimes?
Or all the time.
Speak up a little bit so that the microphone picks up on you. What else do you like to do? What sports do you play?
I play a baseball, and football. Yeah.
Okay. And what grade are you in?
I'm in seventh.
Seventh grade. Awesome. I mean, I already all know all this, so it's not like I'm an inept dad. I have no idea who you are. I've known you play football and baseball. I know that you're in middle school in the seventh grade, and I know you have a friend who hangs out with you all the time, and we pick on you about her. But anyway, and I just picked on you about her right now. I love you, son.
Mm.
Okay, so with that said, let's go ahead and get started. Jacob, what is your one question for me?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me a question.
And I have no idea what your question is going to be. What's your question?
Why did you write your book?
Oh, why did I write my book?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are awesome. People are going to think I'm paying you kids to ask me these types of questions. You know that?
Why?
Because Emma asked me to talk about my book. So all week, you had all week to think of a question and
actually today.
Oh, today. Like a true seventh grader, you waited until the last minute to do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love you. And I also love you.
You used to do that when you were in school, too.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, so why did I write my book? The biggest reason why I wrote my book, besides wanting to make money off of it, which right now I think I made enough money where I could buy a Big Mac or a Subway sandwich or something like that. So it hasn't sold a lot, but it has sold some copies. But I did write that book because I wanted to share with my friends, my family, and people out there what I did to lose weight. And it was just simply by changing my habits gradually over time and removing phrases like, I can't do it. It's too hard. Taking those out of my vocabulary and doing just that one thing each and every day over and over and over again, knowing that I was going to see results in the long run. And sure enough, 56 pounds in 12 months, 8 inches off my waist, and a book. In fact, I've got a blog post coming up later this week. Actually, it came out last week, because by the time this podcast airs, that blog post I'm talking about will have already been posted. This whole time delay thing is throwing me off. So, anyway, I'll have a couple of blog posts that are on my blog at therealjerrydugan.blogspot.com, and it talks about why I wrote my book, why I decided to lose weight in the first place, and so much more. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. You ready for your question?
No.
No? It's okay. You'll be fine. Trust me, son.
Do I know the answer to it, at least?
You know the answer because you do the answer. So what I'm asking for you to do
is play video games daily?
No.
Oh.
No. But it is a good question. In fact, the question came from a friend of mine from the Army. His name is Antoine Glass. I've known him since I served at Fort Benning, Georgia. And his question to me, which I'm asking you because I also want to know, is I know that bullying happens all across the country, And I know I, for my job at Women's Shelter of South Texas, I go into schools and I talk about bullying, bystander behavior, and how not to disrespect other people. But what I want to ask you is, how do you handle bullying if it happens to you or when it happens to you? In fact, I know of a story from your sixth grade year when it happened to you for about a week or two. You already forgot. I remember. You forgot. What? I remember because I was so proud of you, and I tell people about it when I go out.
Oh, I know what it was.
Don't name the name of the person who did it, but how do you handle bullying when it happens to you?
I
guess tell us a little bit about what happened. How did you realize it was bullying?
They were, like, making fun of me and stuff like that, and they're saying that, like, I shouldn't... Wait. Well, I don't really remember what happened, really. Oh. You kind of remember.
I very much remember.
Oh.
Because Mommy called me at work and said, Jerry got... You know, not Jerry, I'm Jerry. You're Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally forgot that. but Mommy called me and said, Jacob got hit in school. And it just blew my mind because I had just spoken at another school about bullying.
Oh, now and I know about this. Okay, yeah.
And it was a kid with the same name as you.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened there? A kid with the same name as you, don't say his last name, he turned around and he hit you?
Yeah. And Why? He just hit me in the stomach for no reason, like just randomly. We were taking school pictures during PE, and then randomly this kid, he just turns around, he's in front of me, and then... He just hits me in my stomach, and then,
okay,
you know, nothing really happens. I tell my coach, but he just tells the kid, like, go to the office, I think, or something like that.
Okay. Actually, I think the coach said he'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
If it happens again, to let him know. And then you told, did you tell Mommy and I about it?
Yeah.
Okay. How did we react?
Y'all... asked me every single day if he did it again.
Okay. So we didn't ignore it. We didn't blow it off. Did we, like, go on the warpath?
No.
Okay. Did we want to go on the warpath?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll tell you what I felt when Mommy told me that first happened.
Skirt.
I wasn't scared. I was about to lay down the law on a sixth grade boy. In fact, when she called me and told me about it, I was ready to go to war against this kid. And his parents. I was ready to show up at the school the next day, find out who the kid was, make a report, report it on the Report a Bully website for the school district. I was ready to go to blows, call KIII. I mean, the works. But I had just finished talking to a middle school class about how to handle bullies that day. And so I had just finished learning from these middle schoolers that the worst thing that a middle schooler wants to have happen when they tell their parents about bullying is exactly what I wanted to do, which was go to war against this kid. Because how would that have made you felt if I showed up at the school?
Like I was like a tattletale or something.
Okay. And were you worried, like if I did something like that, would you be worried that your friends would make fun of you afterwards?
If you think about it, like, I would kind of be embarrassed if everybody was like, you're such a tattletale, why'd you have to tell on that kid and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was going through middle school, if a parent came in, the kids would make fun of that kid. Like, oh, this guy can't fight his own fights. He had to bring his mommy in, or he had to bring his daddy in. And I think there are times when you do have to bring the parents in. Like, if this kid continued hitting you every day, if he continued pushing you, if he was threatening you, then we would have to step in. But this turned out to be a one-time thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you even told us a couple days later this kid was picking on somebody else. You don't remember this either?
No.
You actually said something to that kid, the kid who was acting like a bully, and you asked him, why do you have to do that?
I don't remember this single bit.
Because I'm so proud of you, son. You did this, but you just did it naturally. You didn't tattletale. You did report it to a teacher. You reported it to your parents. The hardest thing for Mommy and I was that we didn't go on a warpath against this kid. In fact, do you remember us asking you, what did you want to do about it?
No.
You don't remember that either?
No.
Good night. Folks, this kid is killing me. He doesn't remember at all that we actually asked him, what is it you want to do? And I'll go ahead and answer for him because he doesn't remember this answer. He actually said he would want to handle it himself. And so we asked him, well, how would you want to handle it? Because we were kind of worried he'd say, fight the kid. And his response actually made me really proud to the point where I brag about this at work when I talk to other middle school students around the area. And he said, well, if he does it again, I'll tell him, look, you need to stop doing that. If you do it one more time, not only am I going to tell the PE teacher, I'm going to tell the principal. You had a whole script ready to go. Don't know if you know that or not.
I don't remember this a single bit.
Oh my gosh. But you said it. And we were really proud that you'd come up with that response on your own. So turns out the next day he was actually picking on somebody else. You asked him about it. And did this kid wind up being a good friend of yours?
No.
No?
No. I never talked to him again.
Oh, okay. I thought he tried to like hang out with you though.
Mm-mm.
No. Maybe I'm thinking of a different kid now. But there was one kid who was like tagging along you for a couple of days, and then he kind of went off on his own. But he never picked on you again, right?
No.
Okay. So, do you ever come across? Well, that was my one question, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the one time I remember my son in sixth grade, first couple of weeks of school, handling a bully. My dog Oreo right now wants to jump in on the show, so he's whining. We'll get him out in just a moment. He actually needs to go to the bathroom. But I wanted to share with you, all of you who are listening right now, that one of the things I teach kids when I go into schools and talk about bullying isn't so much about if you're bullied what you should do, but what I talk about is what other people can do. Because bullying is about power and control. It's the bully exercising power and control over his or her victims. So it's not about, you know, what could the victim do if they're being bullied, but what could other people do who are seeing it happen do to stop it? And I borrowed an acronym from somebody named Dr. Michelle Borba. You can pull this from michelleborba.com. In fact, I'm going to put the link for her website onto my blog post that comes with this podcast, so you can look that information up too. But she uses an acronym called Bully Buster, and she teaches this in schools across the country. That's how I learned about it. She was visiting Corpus Christi ISD, Independent School District, and she shared this. So Bully Buster. So the word buster breaks down into a series of steps or action steps that students who are bystanders can take to help stop the bullying behavior and change the norms of bullying in their schools. So the first letter, B, stands for befriend. So if you see somebody getting picked on, you befriend that person, whether it's just simply standing by them and communicating non-verbally to the person acting like the bully that, hey, if we're picking sides, I'm picking on the person who needs defending, not the person who's in the wrong. The letter U stands for use a distraction. I used to do this all the time. In fact, when I teach this in schools, I'll do the thing from up. Squirrel! And I'll get I'll get kids to look. You can actually use humor as a distraction, or hey, there's a teacher coming, or hey, look, the sky is blue. Something random to throw people off. And while that distraction's happening, you diffuse the situation. S is to speak up or speak out. So you can do things like ask questions to the bully. You know, teach your kids how to ask bullies about their behavior. Why do you pick on that kid? Why do you think it's okay to do that? Why? I learned in sales that the person in control of the conversation is the person who is asking all the questions. And I firmly believe that when you start asking questions to somebody acting like a bully, for the first time in their lives, they're being questioned about their behaviors. Now, you're not going to get a sitcom-style resolution. You know, that person acting like the bully is not going to say, oh, you're right, Jacob, you're right, Jerry, I see the error of my ways, will you forgive me, I was a bad person. That's not going to happen. Chances are the bully is going to say, you know what, mind your own business. Stick your nose somewhere else. What are you going to do, tattle on me? They're going to do something to try to maintain control of the bullying situation. But continue to ask those questions, not just that moment, but day after day after day after day. And what'll start to happen is a change. If not in the bully, that change will start happening in the other bystanders. And they'll feel empowered to step in and speak up as well. You may even have people run off and tell an adult. That's the T. Tell someone. Tell an adult, a teacher, principal. The Report a Bully website, if your school district has one. Tell your parents. But I do also want to add to that, adults, if you have a child telling you they're being bullied, two things. One, believe them. And two, do not overreact and blame the child who was picked on. More often than not, when cyberbullying happens, for example, the first thing we want to do is punish our child. That's it. No more Xbox. No more internet. Give me your phone. You're grounded. You're not going on the internet anymore. I told you it was wrong. I told you it was the devil. And so what winds up happening is this child who was a victim from bullying came to somebody for help, and rather than getting help, they got further bullied, in a sense. They were punished for being picked on to be a victim in the first place. So that's something for us as adults to keep in mind. Also, when they do tell an adult, involve the child in the resolution process. You know, we asked our son, what did you want to do to resolve the situation? He doesn't remember for a moment the solution he came up with. A year later and a half, he still doesn't remember, but he came up with his own solution. We let him execute that solution, and everything worked out perfectly fine, and he was not embarrassed by his old man showing up at the middle school to go to war with another 11-year-old child. So it's okay to let our children learn on their own how to resolve conflict, because they're going to have to learn how to resolve conflict. Now's a good time to do that. And at the same time, though, we need to be able to provide support to them, because in those extreme cases, we may have to make a report. We may have to notify a teacher, but do a measured response. You know, don't show up to school dragging your kid in tow into the principal's office, but make a little notification, send an email, something like that, but keep a log also. Okay, E, because there's a whole word, Buster. E is exit with the friend. So if you're the friend helping the person being picked on, exit with them. Hey, let's go to class together. Hey, you know, I need your help on something. Come with me. And exit with that person. And something I've seen my daughter do, or actually heard of my daughter doing, is offer a resolution or, another resolution. I forgot what the actual R stands for in Dr. Borba's acronym, but that's what it means. Redirect the person to an alternative behavior and an alternative mindset so that the bully may possibly not bully again in the future. Now, that takes a lot of guts to do and a lot of practice. Befriending, using a distraction, speaking up, and telling somebody, those four alone give a lot of students something to work with. So if you're a parent out there and you've got children in elementary school, in middle school, this is a great acronym to teach them, Bully Buster. It's from Dr. Michelle Borba. And I hope you can use it to good use. I'll put the link in my blog on therealjerrydugan.blogspot.com. Jacob, you got anything you want to add?
No.
You're still awake.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything now that I've...
No.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I remember the dude, but I don't remember me coming up with a solution for it.
You did. I brag about it all the time when I go to work.
Yeah, you said you brag about the cyberbully one, remember?
Oh, yes. When we first got Xbox Live, yeah. And you would get picked on by like 20-something-year-old guys. Oh, man. And what did I do?
You wanted to yell in my ear at the microphone, and it would scare me.
And I wasn't even yelling at you, was I? No. I was yelling at these 20-something-year-old yahoos who were yelling at the time, an 11-year-old boy. Or were you 10 at the time?
10.
10. 10-year-old boy getting yelled at and cussed out by 20-something-year-old men. And it made me mad. And, of course, the moment I jumped in and yelled at them, did they stop?
Yes.
Yeah.
They got scared.
Yeah.
Shoot.
That or they muted us. But you actually took the high road, because I picked up the mic and I fought fire with fire. While I was doing that, I remember seeing you with the controller pulling up a menu and blocking them and reporting them. and then you turned to me and you like patted me on the leg and you said, "It's okay, Dad. It's okay." And you know, I know you wanted me to calm down because you saw I was mad. I was upset with these men.
I saw fire in your eyes, shoot.
Because they were picking on my boy. You know, you're my boy. And and so, yeah, I was upset. And but what you showed me was restraint from the eyes of a 10-year-old boy. And I remember that, too. In fact, I talk about that all the time also, how there are other measures than just going to war against somebody, than just fighting fire with fire. You know, I run into kids all the time that say, when you're getting bullied, you got to beat them up and fight them back. And I always have to say, well, how do you tell somebody that fighting is wrong while you're beating their face in? Telling them, hitting people is wrong. Hitting people's wrong. You know, it's like, how do you tell people bullying is wrong when your only response is to be a bigger bully? And so your response in that situation, and a lot of situations like that, really does teach me a lot about how to respond to bullying, is that, yes, we got to communicate that bullying is wrong, but we have to do it in such a way that we're not saying the only way to stop bullying is by being a bigger bully. We stop bullying by having a lot of people be the bigger person. Would you agree with that? People can't hear you nod your head.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Before we wrap things up here, I want to do a family time Q&A shout out. This is a question that came in from my high school buddy / college buddy, Ken Doolittle out of Marina, California. Yes, this one's from you. His question was, TP, over or under? Now, Ken, I told you on Facebook that we choose over because it makes me feel like I'm in a hotel, and I'll even sometimes fold the tip so that it has that pointy bit so it looks like the housekeeper did that, but it's really me. But here's the truth. It's neither. It's countertop, because ain't nobody in this house got time for that. And so, yeah, so your question, TP over or under, our answer really is countertop, because we don't even bother putting it on the holder thing. So thanks for the question. Be sure to go to my blog, therealjerrydugan.blogspot.com. Leave a comment. Leave a question. Maybe we'll pick your question to fit into the Family Time Q&A. We're going to do this podcast every week for as long as we can. I got at least, let's see, you're 12 now. You're going to get a driver's license maybe in 4 or 5 years.
Three.
He says three, but that's learner's permit. You have to take me with you. We'll do a podcast in the car, son. So we're going to do this for as long as we can, which is probably when my son here is able to drive away from us when it's recording session time.
Mm-mm.
So with that said, leave a comment on my blog. Let us know what you thought about this podcast. If you have some technical suggestions, leave them for me. I'll take them. This is only episode number 2. I've got a lot of learning to do.
Number 2.
And also keep in mind that I have a budget of $0.00 for this. So if you want us to upgrade the quality of our podcasts, buy my book. It's called Use Your Smartphone to Lose Weight. It's only a Kindle book on Amazon.com. Again, follow me on my blog. You can subscribe to the email updates, which I send out weekly, at therealjerrydugan.blogspot.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jerry Dugan. And you can also like my Facebook page, which is The Real Jerry Dugan. And it's a public page. Anybody can like it. I think even my grandmother likes it. My grandmother. Well, mom's grandmother. So, yeah. And, of course, if you're looking for me on Twitter, it's JerryDugan. And if you're wondering if I am the Jerry Dugan who sings country western, no. If you're wondering if I am the Jerry Dugan who is an awesome video director out of Las Vegas, Nevada, no. I am the real Jerry Dugan out of originally Marina, California, living in Corpus Christi, Texas, keeping it real as best I can, and I am signing off until episode 3, where it's going to be husband-wife Q&A. Thank you much.
Wait. Oh, bye.